Hello, this is Scream Analysis, and today we're going to be taking a look at one of my very favorite alien stories. This one really strongly relates to some of my favorite symbolic motifs, to the nature of this country, and to the nature of the paranormal. So stick around and let's get into the story. It was 1972. The witness was an airman in the United States Air Force, stationed at the Kino Air Force Station out of Kingsley Field in Oregon. He worked as a radar operator. He eventually received orders to ship out to Udor in Thailand. And so, in August of 1972, he packed up his family, including his wife, his daughter, and a young Labrador puppy, and headed off towards Laredo, Texas, for some leave. Since both his and her families resided there, it was determined that the wife and the daughter would stay with her parents while he was away in Udorn. They left early in the morning. The witness was driving a 1971 Mustang Mach 1. He was towing a trailer with some of their belongings in it. They intended to stop only when necessary, as they were keen on getting back to Laredo as soon as possible. A base vet had given them a small dosage of tranquilizer pills for the puppy in order to keep him asleep as he was riding in a dog carrier on the trailer. The baby was fed and asleep in the back seat where they had arranged a makeshift crib. The witness foresaw no problems as long as they kept to their schedule. At around 2 a.m. in the evening, on the night of August 5, 1972, while heading west on a long, dark stretch of road that, according to the witness, seemed to go on forever, he happened upon something in the road that caused him concern. My wife was asleep when I first saw what looked to be some sort of roadblock set up about a mile ahead. I could see the reflection of the cross stripes in a low wooden-type structure. I thought of it as a roadblock, but I started to wonder why there would be a roadblock at this time. I was traveling at about 70 miles per hour, so I knew I would soon come up to it. The witness woke his wife and immediately began to slow down. As they got closer, they could see no one at the roadblock, just the low roadblock structure strung across the right side of the highway. The witness estimates he was about one city block length away from the roadblock and still could see no one manning it. At that moment, their puppy, who should have been asleep, started to howl. Not like a puppy howl or yelp, but like some sort of monster from hell. And very loud howling, and just continued to do so till after we passed this area. All my hair stood up on the back of my neck. My wife and I looked at each other, and I hit the gas pedal, feeling very much in danger. Something told me to go and not stop, which I obeyed. I swept around the roadblock on its left side. My wife and I both looked to our right. This is when the couple observed something strange in some woods off to the side of the road. The witness did his best to describe what they saw. There was a strange setup. It looked like three bleachers raised around a cleared center area, like a basketball court with bleachers, but one side missing. Very bright lights illuminated it. One was facing south and about 100 feet across, more or less, and the other two were facing each other east and west, about the same length, and all three connected with the south side open. In this area were many men, very white in coloring, and they were all wearing what I saw was bright blue overalls and scampering around. There were many pieces of equipment around the inset of the dice, but the center part was clear, almost like a short runway or large landing pad. My wife said she saw the same thing, except that she saw them wearing white overalls and that they all looked bluish in coloring to her. After blowing past the roadblock, the witness claims that he checked his side mirrors and observed that no police were following him. They were going about 75 miles per hour, and the witness did not ease up for about 30 minutes, as his wife was still visibly upset. The puppy had quieted down. At some point, the witness observed a light further down the highway. I slowed down and carefully pulled into what looked like an old-style storefront parking area, with a light swinging in the warm desert breeze from the store. I remember it even made that rusty sound as it swung back and forth. I told my wife we would stay here, and in the morning we could get something to eat or drink there. We agreed. I remember getting out of the car, and I could see the outline of the storefront as I went in the back and relieved myself before getting back into the car. This was the witness's last memory of that evening. His next conscious memory was hearing somebody knocking on the window of the car. There was a sharp knocking on my car window. It was a man checking to see if we were all right. I woke up fully and remembered that I felt as though I had slept for 100 years, the best I had ever felt before or since. I was fully energized and alive. The man was not excited and said he wanted to know how the accident happened. I said, "What accident?" He said, "Yours." He said, "You're 200 feet from the highway, sitting in the middle of the desert. I just happened to see you as I was driving by." He asked if we were all right. I looked around. My wife was just waking up and my daughter was still fast asleep. I said, "Yes, I feel great." I looked around. There was no storefront, no store sign swinging in the breeze, and no store. We were in a clearing off the highway. It was a bright, sunny day. My reaction at the time was nonchalant and very strange when I look back at it. The witness claims he got out and checked on the puppy, which was fine. He also checked the car and the trailer, and they also seemed fine. He glanced over and saw the truck driver's 18-wheeler parked in the far left of the highway. He remembered thinking that the driver must have had great eyesight in order to see them where they were. The witness noted that, from what he could tell, at some point he had pulled off the highway in a straight line to the position they were found in. He eventually thanked the truck driver, who left without exchanging any information. A closer inspection of the car and trailer revealed some damage. I noticed a bump in the trailer axle. Upon further inspection, I could see it was bent. I can't think of any way it could happen unless I pulled off and hit something the night prior, but I remember being careful. When they got back on the road, they were relegated to going about 45 miles per hour until they hit the next town. He stopped at a service station and was informed that the trailer was ruined and too dangerous to continue with it. Being an airman at the time, I had little money to rent another one. Instead, I sold some of our belongings and gave the rest away, along with the puppy, to the service station owner. We took it all in stride and just kept going. It only started to bother me years later. By 1981, I had divorced my then-wife, and life went on. I did not report this sooner because of my position in the United States Air Force. I later worked in Air Force Intelligence and as a crew member of an E-3A training squadron. I then worked for a U.S. government agency, where I also feared some sort of repercussions. I am now retired. What a fantastic story. This one really struck me from the first time I heard it, which, of course, was on Beyond Creepy. I have said before, this is one of my favorite channels. So no knock on him that I'm covering it, but I thought I have some really interesting stuff to say about this one. So, spoiler alert, but this one is really heavily Twin Peaks. Like, this is directly dealing with material from that show. I have said before, and I've been saying probably since about 2017, that Twin Peaks is the most accurate and direct vision of the paranormal. It's really spot on, and this one really shows that. So let's start with this image of weird guys. So they are in, you know, they're in overalls or jumpsuits. This is a universal. You find this all the time. A lot of aliens, they wear these one-piece suits. They're often blue or gray or black or silver. You know, they have their own little fashion, but they all dress like that. This is universal. Sometimes you see a weirder, you know, technological suit, but the single color is very common. And they're colored wrong. They're not humans. And they're moving, they're scampering about in this weird little area in the woods. I mean, this is directly what in Twin Peaks they call woodsmen. These are like kind of elemental ghosts that haunt the woods and are agents of higher spiritual forces. Then we get the, you know, he pulls off and he speeds up. And then you get the store that's not really there. This is directly named in Twin Peaks. You know, it was a convenience store. We lived above it. And it's not a real place. I think they also call it the Dutchman's in the show. And, I mean, you literally have in the show this convenience store with weird little scampering guys that disappears and reappears depending on, you know, the magic going on. This is crazy. It's crazy that this story is directly mirrored in, you know, the visionary dreams of David Lynch. You know, David Lynch is clearly witness to this American phenomena. Because do keep in mind, this is uniquely American. No aliens, no elementals, no elves or gnomes would pick a convenience store in Europe. It wouldn't happen. We're special. We have the convenience store aliens. So what is this? What is going on here? I'll give a little bit of, you know, my black ops view. It also, you know, to call to mind, to give a little bit of context, there was a great alien story that I'd heard from Preston Dennett. And he talks about this canvasser. She's, you know, this woman is an activist for Ross Perot, you know, a guy who was running for president back in the 90s. And she had these alien experiences. They came down and they said, "Don't support Ross Perot." And she was like, "Oh my God, the aliens just told me not to do this. I'm not going to do it." So the fact that this guy is Air Force intelligence, literally the people tasked with dealing with UFOs, and he is witnessing what seems like, you know, he says it looks like a landing pad, these weird little guys. You know, it could be a vision dealing with his feelings about the military, but I think it's far more likely that there's a direct connection. So it could either be that, it could be an intelligence operation, or it could be, you know, this Lynchian, legitimate spiritual experience. It's hard to tell. We don't really know. But either way, I love this story, and, you know, you'll be seeing the visuals in this video. You'll see how it is directly related to Twin Peaks. And I hope that you are looking forward to the stories that I'm going to be telling every day for the rest of the month. And if you like this, check out my writing on Rick Rubin's tetragrammaton.com or on my Substack. Check the links in the description. And as always, remember, screams matter.